Today on Crossroads in Culture, I'm really excited about the discussion that I'll be having today with my son, Kevin Bernard. He's the special guest today, and we're going to be talking about something I believe a lot of people have been discussing and have questions about, and that is there a war between Christianity and science? Or is there a congruence? Are we able to make sense of both the scriptures and science? So we're going to be looking at that today on Crossroads in Culture. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Crossroads in Culture. We're so glad you're watching this. And I'm excited about this topic that we're talking about today. I would say that I'm certainly not a scientist. Kevin, I don't know that you're not a scientist either, right?
No,
but
but
this is a topic when we talk about, is there a war between Christianity and science? We hear a lot about this phrase thrown out, and we'll talk more about this, like trust the science, or maybe that there is there is somewhat of tension between Christianity and science. And so today we're just going to talk through that a little bit, because I think it's important for every person, especially believers, to have some idea and knowledge of what God has created in science, and how are we able to have discussions with people, even though we may not have a PhD in science, so to speak. Yeah. Why don't you tell them a little bit about you, about who you are, and kind of your interest in science, right? I mean, you've been interested in science for a while now.
Yeah, for a long time. Specifically cosmology, space, sciences of that matter. But I am a senior motion designer at a company called Camping World, and I love that job. I love it a lot.
You do a great. He does a great job at that, by the way.
Yeah. But I love it. I get to work from home, which is great. Suits me really well. Gives me some free time too to study this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So cosmology, and recently I've been looking into like organic chemistry, which is just completely over my head. But I mean, the complexity of life is just amazing.
So. Yeah. When you say chemistry, that really makes me shudder. I didn't even take it in high school. I mean, I don't think now you can't get out of high school without having it, but I don't know.
The organic part of that should. That's when you hear organic and chemistry together, that's when you know it's...
Oh, well, yeah. I'm going to trust you on that because I have no clue. I have no clue about that. I mean, I could probably break it down, but
It's over my head.
Yeah, well, it's over my head. So, I mean, so married to your wonderful wife, Anna.
Yes, my wife, Anna, and our daughter, our one-year-old daughter, Brielle.
She's amazing.
She is.
Anna's amazing as well. But
yes, yeah. Both of them are.
Yeah, but and Brielle just turned a year old. So
she did.
New into this fathering thing.
She's walking and kind of talking.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, exactly. So the mysteries of science and the mysteries of understanding the babble of a one-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of
hand in hand.
So when we talk about this, about science and Christianity, I think that there is a perception, generally speaking, it seems to be a perception when it comes to science, that the tendency of Christians is to ignore or to deem science incongruent with Christianity. Like you're either going to have faith or you're going to believe science, but it seems like the two are at such odds and have such tension that you have to believe one or the other. I hear that not just among believers perhaps, but even in secular culture where people would say, well, you can't believe there's a God and believe in science. I think we need to qualify what we mean by Christian and then what we mean by science, or what science is, the definition of that. So by Christian, when we talk about this, we're talking about those who believe that there is a God in heaven, created all things according to what the Bible says, what the scriptures say, that we have been created as human beings in the image of God. But as we were created, we were born into sin because of what happened in the garden with Adam and Eve. And that sin separates us from God, and that the only way we can have a relationship with God is through his son, Jesus Christ, whom he sent to be the sacrifice for our sins, so that if we would turn from sin and turn to Jesus for the forgiveness of sin, we might be saved by faith.
Right.
And so we believe that's the core of Christianity, because the word Christian gets thrown out a lot in our culture, and you know, people say if they go to church that they're a Christian, or their parents were Christians, so therefore they've kind of inherited being a Christian, and that's not Christianity at all. And so the scriptures give a very clear definition of what it means to be Christ followers. And so when we say Christian or Christianity, that's what we're referring to. And when we talk about science, what would be the definition that we would say this is a working definition from science that's pretty much accepted by people across the board?
Yeah, so I think the basic definition is it's just the study of the behavior of the natural world. That falls into a lot of categories, obviously. You have cosmology, you have biology,
anthropology,
geology,
archaeology,
all the ologies.
All the ologies. Yeah. So that would be the working definition. So when we talk about when I just said about the perception with those within the Christian community, that there seems to be a perception that those who are believers are ignorant of, or they would deem science as incongruent with Christianity. Do you think do you see that? Are you hearing that? And do you think that is a perception that is kind of being projected? And why do you think that is?
Yeah. I think for the most part, it's kind of put on believers by the secular world, especially secular scientists that say you can't have faith and also, be in line with modern science, which is just not true. And then there are people in Christian circles that are maybe mistrusting of science. And it you really have to be careful with what you mean by science here, because, you know, you go back to like the COVID era.
Yeah.
And exactly. The whole trust the science and whatever aisle you fall in on the political spectrum. I mean, if you just take an unbiased look, there was obviously scientific misleading.
Yeah.
And science changes from time to time, obviously.
And they even owned up to that. I mean, he's documented that. They come back. Like Anthony Fauci. I'm just going to call him out. I mean, he was at the podium one day and he would say one thing and then he would come back and change it. The CDC would do the same thing. I mean, they changed their opinion more than a host or hostess changed wardrobes on the Grammys. I mean, it's kind of like it was just constantly changing. And so people began to ask the question, well, how do we know what to believe or what to be true? And so I really think that there's kind of a general distrust.
Yeah, exactly.
When it comes to people who profess to be science. And now we've got this situation with what's a man, what's a woman. Mm-hmm. And scientists are like, well, you can't really determine what a man or woman is. And if science is something you can observe.
Yeah.
Right. And it's so.
If you want to be taken seriously as a thinking person who really trusts the science, I mean, trusts the actual science. To say that a man can be a woman and vice versa is just patently, false. It's just insane. I mean, to say that is in line with science is just, it's just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there is this, so there is this tension, this war, and it's like, how can we trust science? So that didn't help. That doesn't help the cause.
Right.
In that sense. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think again, that's one section of science, it's more of like, whatever science it falls under for
immunology, or I don't know what it is. Yeah. I mean, on the stuff, one of the ologies,
but yeah. And that's, these are the quote unquote experts that we're supposed to be trusting. And I think that specific instance, put a lot of mistrust in specifically people in the Christian community.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So we asked this question in the introduction. So is there a war? I mean, do you think there's a war between science and Christianity?
It really depends on who you're talking. I mean, it kind of depends on the person, because some people are just willfully ignorant and don't really care to learn or want to learn. Mm-hmm. And then some people are actively completely against science, whatever realm of science that is, saying that it's not congruent with the Bible. I don't know if there's a war necessarily, but there are certainly those who think that it just is incongruent with the Bible, which again, I think is just completely false.
Yeah.
So
how do you, so you talked about the fact that just some who are ignorant of this. I mean, I'm not going to know all of these. I told you at the very beginning, like when we were talking about discussing this, because it is an important topic. And I think it's an important topic when it comes to sharing the gospel, when it comes to having conversations with people about things that matter, because a lot of questions come from this. Mm-hmm. Like, is there really a God?
Right.
I mean, did this all start from like nothing, or has this always been here, or is there a Big Bang? I mean, all of these, and then we talk about evolution and all of these different things. And if there's not some understanding as to what people are thinking, then you're not going to know how to defend the faith, how to have, you know, to give a reason for the hope that's in you is what scripture
says. Peter.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And so, like a reasonable faith. I think you were reading a book, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Dr. William Lane Craig. Yeah. Reasonable Faith. Really good section in the beginning of the book where he talks about how as believers, we have the assurance of faith, and that is just as tangible to us as hard evidence. And he talks about how hard evidence should never trump these spiritual, you know, what God has revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. Right. But it's certainly not incongruent with modern science. I mean, you're dealing more with metaphysics and that stuff that you can't, of the spiritual realm, you know, but it's certainly not, it's not out of line with what we can observe in modern science today.
And I think that's where I think some people would say that science and Christianity, there's this tension or maybe this war, so to speak, is that scientists or those who believe in science would say, show me the evidence. Show me the evidence that there's a God. Mm-hmm. And I would come back and say, well, show me the evidence there's not.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I think the atheist is in a tough spot here. It's funny, there's a lot of these theories that are coming out now, string theory, which has been around for a little bit.
Is that about a guitar? Is that what these instruments? Because that's string theory that...
No, on a simple...
That's another podcast probably.
Yeah. No, on a simple level, it's that there are these fundamental, not particles, because when you think of particle, you think of like a dot, but these fundamental vibrating strings that come together to make up fundamental particles. But really the whole point of it, point of it, is to try to get rid of a first cause. So you just keep pushing the universe back into an eternal past. And then you have theories like quantum loop gravity and the steady state model of the universe is that just, they try to pull something from nothing. And you have scientists like Lawrence Krauss at the University of Arizona, I think, that wrote a book called A Universe from Nothing. And he just tries to redefine what nothing is. When nothing is not anything,
that gives me a headache. I mean, because I'm like, it just doesn't seem to make sense. I mean, why would you try to even?
Yeah, I think it's absurd to try to come up with these theories that get rid of a God, and they may not be consciously. Some people certainly are consciously,
right?
Doing what they can to get rid of a God,
yeah,
for whatever reason.
Well, I think it goes back maybe to the garden, right? I mean, because think about the how. A big word that's being thrown out today is deconstruction, right? There's a great book by Alyssa Childers and Tim Barnett called The Deconstruction of Christianity. I would encourage you to read that book. It's a great book. But in the garden, how Satan began to deconstruct God and convince Eve and Adam of this. And one of the things that, you know, they had said, you know, did God really say this? I mean, God's trying to keep you from really enjoying life. But then it's like, that God didn't want you to do this because he knows that in you taking of this fruit that you will become like God. Mm. And I think that we can see this thread in throughout our culture is that that there's almost like this God-like pursuit within people that we want to make our own choices. We want to do our own thing. And so in order for us to kind of have that mindset, we have to disprove that there isn't, you know, that there's a God, right?
And people go to, I was listening to a debate yesterday between Richard Dawkins, prominent atheist, I'm sure everyone's heard of Richard Dawkins, and John Lennox, mathematician.
Wait, John of the Beatles?
No.
Oh, wait, that was John Lennon. Lennon. Sorry, yeah.
John Lennox is a mathematician. Yeah. He's a mathematician at Oxford and a philosopher of science. He's a brilliant guy. Yep. I just love listening to him talk. But Richard Dawkins was he was saying that the universe appears to have design and that we are bent on worshiping something. But he talks about how we have to suppress that, that's just an evolutionary vestige that we have to impose some kind of purpose on something. And it's just, I can't believe the lengths that these people go to ignore what's right in front of them.
Yeah. I mean, it goes back to what Scripture says in Romans 1, right? That God has made himself evident, that his invisible attributes have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. It we look at this and we observe this. And I think that's where some scientists would say, well, if you are a believer, I mean, you're just walking in blind faith. Well, that's not true. That's not a true statement. I mean, right. Because we're able to, like, when I look at this universe and I look at this world, like we live out in the country. I mean, we live outside of a small town. I mean, so we're not even in the small town. I mean, we're outside the small town.
Yeah.
And the thing I love about it is there's no light pollution for the most part. I mean, we can look up and, I mean, you can see the stars and just the constellations. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the whole Psalm 8. When I look and see the heavens that you've made, I mean, who am I that you're mindful of us? Mm-hmm. But I love being out there and seeing this. When I look at that and I observe that, and I observe, like, one of mine and your mom's favorite places to go is to Colorado. We love seeing the mountains. We love the Rockies. I know some people love oceans and beaches, and I don't do sharks. So, you know, I love to look at the ocean, but I don't want to get in. There aren't sharks in the mountains. So we love going to the mountains.
Not that you know of.
Not that we know of. There may be a mountain shark. Who knows? But, trust the science. There is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but we love that. And when I see these things and I observe them with my eye, I there is something in me that says there has to be a creator, right? And yet some in science would say, well, have you ever observed this God? And I would say, yeah, but not in the way you think I should observe this God in order to believe. So there's a couple things I would say with that. There's a lot of things I've observed. I've observed a painting by Picasso. Mm-hmm. But I've never observed Picasso.
Right.
Right. So I know there's a painter. I mean, I've never observed, you know, we've got this clock that we've got in a clock repair shop right now. And it chimes like these deep, like the Westminster chimes and some others. And so we're getting it fixed. But I look at that clock and I think, okay, I'm observing that there's a clock. It tells time. But I don't know who the clockmaker was. But I can tell that if there's a clock, there had to be a clockmaker. If there's a painting, there's been a painter. If there's a sculpture, there's a sculptor. Mm-hmm. And when I look at all of creation, I have to believe that there is a creator, that this did not just happen by randomness. Right. The universe and the world is too complex for this just to have happened from some primordial soup or just some gas explosion or whatever. And even if that is the case, who started all of this?
Right. I mean, who lit the candle?
Yeah.
And so, I think at one point I would have considered myself a young earth creationist, and I really don't know where I fall on this right now.
We may differ on that, and that's okay.
I'm completely open-minded on this because I don't think it goes against the Bible at all.
But
what you're talking about is the teleological argument,
right? Exactly.
I can't remember who it was. Hadley, maybe the watch illustration about someone finding a watch on a beach, and knowing that it has to have a watchmaker.
Let's give Hadley credit. I don't know if that.
I think that's his last name. It's in the Reasonable Faith book that I'm reading. But teleological argument, really powerful. The fine tuning of the universe. You know, again, I think whether you think that there was a Big Bang or not is kind of tertiary. It's not a salvific issue. So, and that's why I feel comfortable exploring it. But when you look at the laws of the universe, the fine tuning of everything, the constants and quantities that like the law of entropy, that if it had been just a little bit tweaked at all within like just an incalculable number, the universe would have expanded too quickly and things would have died out. Insane level of tuning for life. I mean, and it's just perfect.
And see, I think there's part of me is like, okay, how can I trust that these guys know that or these people know that? But what I can say is I know that the universe is complex.
So regardless.
I mean,
you don't have to look at cosmology talking about organic chemistry and biology, just how the human body is made, or even something as simple as what we might perceive as simple as a flower or something.
Yep.
When you look at it up close or even under a microscope, the complexity is just insane. Yeah.
And even like the human eye. I mean, all that goes in that, how you're able to see and all the optic nerves and how they have to connect. I mean, it's just crazy. And that's just one part, you know, and I know Louis Giglio in one of his messages talks about laminin, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like the rebar of the human body. I mean, there's just so many things that I would say, man, there has to be a creator. There has to be a God. And yet there are some who would say it doesn't logically make sense. And what I believe is that we all get to the end of the road of logic where faith has to be. I mean, Right. Everything's a faith issue, yep. Right? When you cross a bridge on an interstate, you're crossing believing that that bridge is going to hold your car up.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows, right? I mean, you don't know. I mean, when you sat in that chair, I could have sawn some of those, you know, three of those legs to the point where if you would have sat down, you could have busted. But you sat down in it not examining those legs because you've sat in chairs before and they've held you up. And so everything in life requires an element of faith. It mm-hmm. just does. And so we can't say what's just logic and it's just science. There has to be an element of faith with that. But at the same time, faith is paired with logic
right.
because it affirms.
I think you can take logic pretty far.
Yeah,
I mean,
you can.
Especially when you talk about a first cause of the universe.
Yep.
There's nothing that's uncaused.
Yep.
That's not even close to observable. And then you have sciences like quantum mechanics that try to predict.
When your car's going to break down?
No.
Okay. did you get that?
Yeah, a mechanic joke.
Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. But that try to predict, electrons that just kind of pop in and out of existence. But it's not, it's all part of a perfectly designed sequence of events.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So I guess what we're saying is that there may be some who would say there's war between Christianity and science, but as believers, I mean, if we're going to engage in conversations with people who say that they're atheist or they're agnostic, that there may be a supreme being, but we can't know that supreme being or that we've just evolved and we're continuing to evolve, that if we're going to have conversations with people who come from that mindset, then we're going to have some working knowledge of the universe or I mean how things work. I mean, without right. getting a PhD in it. Would you agree with that? I mean, is that
yeah. I mean, I think now more than ever, especially like what I mentioned with theories like string theory and I mean, these are widely accepted theories, albeit, but people, it's the same thing, trust the experts. And you need to be able to you don't have to grasp it at the most fundamental level. I don't.
Right.
I try to, but I don't. But you at least have to, I think, put in the effort to understand, does this work with the Bible?
Yeah.
Is this congruent with what I believe?
Yeah.
And I mean, I think it's really important to at least to be in tune with what's going on in the scientific community. That's something that I've learned even recently. I hated math. I hated math in high school and college. Yeah. And recently I started taking a math class online.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great, man.
Yeah. Just because it's important.
Yeah.
I can't remember who it was.
You need to teach me.
Well, I'm not there yet,
okay.
But there was a, someone in the scientific revolution. I think it was Galileo that said that, the language of the universe is mathematics.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just amazing how it all works. It all works perfectly. So
imagine that God being a God of order that would have, yeah. So,
yeah.
I mean, again, that's another reason why I believe that there is a creator.
Yeah. And again, talking about the scientific revolution, people that made the biggest strides during that time in the 16th, 17th century were people who conducted their experiments with the presupposition that there was a God. And not just a God, but the God of the Bible.
Yep.
People like Galileo, Isaac Newton, Francis Bacon, who was responsible for the scientific method, Johannes Kepler, the laws of planetary motion. All these people were devout Christians. I mean, Isaac Newton wrote more about theology than he did about gravity.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. But obviously, I mean, we still use Newtonian physics today.
Right.
So obviously that's going to overshadow his other work, but, and this was funny. I was reading Stephen Hawking's book. What is it called?
I don't know. I know who Stephen Hawking is.
Yeah. His Brief History of Time.
Okay.
And he talks about how Isaac Newton had discovered the law of gravity and just kind of wrote it in a paper and forgot about it until years later when someone, a fellow scientist, asked him a question, and he said, "Oh yeah, I have the answer to that." And it turned out to be the law of gravity, because he was just concerned with other things. But all these people were conducting these experiments with the presupposition that there was a God who created an orderly universe. And he gave us the cognitive faculties to be able to carry out these things. I mean, there's a quote by Galileo, and it says, "I do not feel obliged to believe that the same God who has endowed us with senses, reason, and intellect has intended for us to forego their use."
So in other words, he gives us this to use it.
Yeah, to understand the universe. And I think it's important for people who maybe have been mistrusting of science in the past, in some cases, to discover for themselves. You can't live a life thinking that you can't ever trust.
Yeah.
There are certainly experts that don't have the intention to mislead you. There are leading experts that are believers that are doing science that is completely congruent with what Scripture says.
But I think what you said, I think could somewhat be a little bit ironic, in that there are people who would profess they believe in the science, and they're believing scientists without doing their own research.
Oh yeah, exactly.
In other words, they're expressing faith in fallible human beings, right? And for us, we're expressing faith in an infallible God and a word, His word, that is infallible, inerrant. And yet God is affirming His word through what He's created as well. You know, I think, you know, when you're saying this about people, you know, about trusting the science and people being aware of what the sciences are, I think we have to be knowledgeable of that. And I think that, but we have to also come to understanding that, that there is this element of faith that we put in, that we believe that the God of the universe also has given, who's imperfect and infallible, has given us His infallible, perfect word. And what we see in creation doesn't compete against this. It's a beautiful, it's synthesized. It's a harmony in a lot of ways.
And that's what's hard for me to drop the logic. Yeah. And 'cause I'm a very logic driven person. And so to hit a wall and come to a point where you're saying logic can only carry me so far.
Yeah.
And have to, I mean, that's hard for me.
What would be the caution, though, like for people who have a bent to kind of be more logically minded, in the sense that everything has to kind of line up, especially for someone who professes to be a believer? What would you say would be the caution of that, and taking that to such a degree that it could affect maybe even you questioning your faith or shattering your faith?
Yeah, well, I would say if you're in a state of questioning your faith, you need to be really careful about who you're listening to, especially in secular science realm, because there are a lot of logically sound arguments that don't involve God, that sound logically,
that are logically
coherent. Yeah. And that's why there are so many people now that are agnostic or atheists that are leading. And you can still be an expert in science and know what you're doing and not be a believer.
Yeah.
But you're, I don't understand how surely this thought crosses their mind.
Yeah.
Or, you know, however subconsciously.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's important to note too, that when you said, be careful who you listen to, I think that's great. Everything that we read or that we listen to always needs to go back to truth, and which we believe as believers, as you know, followers of Christ, are the Scriptures, right? And so I think that when you measure what you hear over and against the truth of God's word gives you clarity and gives you direction, and that's what I think is incredibly important. And the reason I'm saying is because, going back to this term of deconstruction, is that there are those who are deconstructing, but they're not going to the Scriptures to look for answers to the questions they may have. I mean, there's some of you maybe that you've been questioning your faith at times, and you're like, you have genuine questions. I've had questions in my life.
Everyone should have
like
questions.
Do I really believe this to be true? But rather than going and listening or reading someone who's not a follower of Christ, that's not where I'm going to find the answers. When I go to the Scriptures, the Scriptures are going to help me be able to work through these things. I mean, the Spirit of God is at work when we ask Him to give us clarity and to lead us and to direct us,
right,
and open our minds to see what the truth of God's word is. But if my bent is just that I don't want to be a Christian anymore, I'm trying to do everything I can to deconstruct it. Those are two different things: deconstructing your faith, which is really apostasy, the scriptures will refer to, or maybe you're at a crisis of belief, but you go to the truth of scriptures. And so I think when you're talking about things like logic and science, if you just go to the scientific community that are logically minded, but have no view of a correct view of God, or maybe don't even believe that there's a God, you're going to be swept away into the currents of, you know, the ocean of science, so to speak. And what faith you did have is going to be decimated.
Yeah. You know? I think it's important to be biblically grounded. Not that you have to be a biblical expert, but you know, the Bible isn't a science textbook, and it doesn't have to be. Again, the quote that Galileo said, God has given us the cognitive faculties to learn and understand things. I mean, that's when you look at Genesis, when God tells Adam and Eve to fill the earth and subdue it. I'm sure in there I've made this for you. Mm. Explore it. Have fun with it.
Yeah. And glorify me in it, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so I don't think we should shy away from learning.
And I think that that's good, because I think the next, as we start wrapping this up, is how can this, like conversations like this, how can this serve as a bridge to having what we talk about here at Church Project River Valley and Church Project Network that we're part of, this phrase of having good conversations that lead to God conversations that lead to gospel conversations. Mm. I mean, that when I think about how I engage people, I'm always asking God, would you help me just have a good conversation? Which a good conversation is like, I mean, talking about stuff like this. It's where you are talking, but you're listening. You're listening to understand. You're trying to gain some understanding. It doesn't mean that we're going to be in the same place and agree on everything necessarily.
Right.
But having a good conversation that God could use and open a door to have a God conversation. I don't know that you could talk about science and not talk about God, whether you believe there is one or not.
Yeah.
You know, but so how can this be a bridge to having good conversations that turn to God conversations that could turn to gospel conversations?
Yeah.
Because we can't just leave God here as like, okay, create everything. Well, there's much purpose and reason behind this. I mean, he created us to be in relationship with him. So the gospel is what gives us hope, right? And so how do you see these conversations bridging to having good God gospel conversations? Or how can they? Or how should they?
Yeah, well, I think that's something that's important to work on, to workshop. I mean, again, 1 Peter 3:15 says to be ready to give an account for the hope that's in you. But it says to be gentle.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's something that I have to work on, because I sometimes just want to win intellectually.
Which is easy when you're arguing with me. You know this stuff.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know everything, but there are lots of ways to connect. It depends on what science you're talking about, what realm of science you're talking about. Yeah. For me, it'd be a cosmological. That's all I ever want to talk about. And there are so many bridges when it comes to bridging the scientific and logic to a creator. You talk about first cause. Yeah. Genesis 1 states that there's the beginning of the universe. I mean, even in Job, he talks about the laws of the universe, how the earth is suspended from nothing. Now, does that mean that it's floating in empty space? I would say yes. I think that's congruent with modern science but there are lots of bridges.
Yeah.
You know, again, the fathers of the scientific revolution were all believers. That's a good bridge to say they all did these things with the presupposition that there's a God.
Yeah.
And I mean, their contributions to science are still used today. Mm. I mean, Galileo with the telescope, Isaac Newton with his law of gravity, we still use Newtonian physics.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so many bridges there.
So with that, outside of the Bible, obviously that is the go-to for us as believers.
Right.
What are some good resources that you would recommend for people who are looking to become more knowledgeable in this specific area? I mean, they're not looking to be experts or get degrees in this necessarily, but they're like, I just want to be aware. I mean, it may not be like a book on string theory or whatever, but it may be a book as it relates to, could be about cosmology or about evolution and what we believe as believers in Christ, obviously looking at the scriptures. But what would you say would be some good resources that you would recommend for those who are believers who would say, I just want to know more about this so I can engage, so I can think about this rightly, but I can't engage those conversations?
William Lane Craig is, I listen to his podcast a lot, Reasonable Faith. He's incredibly knowledgeable about, specifically when it comes to cosmology, he came up with the KLOM, cosmological argument, that states that anything that begins to exist has a cause. And the second premise is that the universe began to exist and therefore the universe has a cause. And then he would posit that the cause is God, obviously. But he's a great resource. His book, Reasonable Faith, is a little bit more cerebral, specifically when he's talking about the beginning of the universe. And it kind of gets into more heady.
So in other words, you got to read that a few times. And chew on it.
Sean McDowell.
Because I know who William Lane Craig is. I know his works. But I would say Sean McDowell for me. Go ahead and explain why you would say Sean McDowell. I mean,
He's a great apologist. I think taking what Dr. Craig, his knowledge, and then Sean McDowell's ability to apply it apologetically.
That's good.
Because he talks a lot about the same things, especially, and I think, and I didn't talk about this at all, but I think the most powerful arguments are not even scientific. You know, the moral argument, I think, is probably the most powerful argument. Good. And Dr. Craig talks a lot about that. That's but Sean McDowell does the same thing. John Lennox, who I mentioned, great debater, just extremely knowledgeable. Frank Turek, also in the apologetics realm and deals with science. That's usually what I try to stick with, is people who,
I know Greg Keichel, I don't know, I'm not sure if he deals much with like cosmology or
I'm not sure,
scientific stuff, but he's a great apologist. So
Alvin Plantinga. I don't know much about him, but I've heard some of his, he's more in the scientific and philosophical realm.
So I would say, you know, do your research, but measure it against the truth of God's word. And I would say above everything else, your daily diet should be in the scriptures. You know, if you're finding yourself, books are great to read, resources are good, but if that is your main go-to, you're going to find yourself, I believe, stumbling in that sense. God's word has to be the foundation, and it has to be the lens through which we look at everything. When it comes to science, when it comes to, I mean, whatever.
Anything.
So God's word has to be that lens. So, man, this has been a great discussion. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks for having me.
So proud of you. I wish I was as smart as you, but it's, I'm very proud of you and just thankful for our time to discuss this. So I think it's a very relevant topic. And, you know, because a lot of people will talk about how they're atheist or they're agnostic or they don't believe that there's a God. And again, if you can disprove or if you can convince yourself, or let me rephrase it, if you allow the enemy to convince you that there is no God, then you can live however you want to. I mean, when you look at morality and all the things we see happen in our culture, you have to eliminate God so that you can justify in your own mind living the way that you live. But the problem with that is that there's something internally within every person that knows what is right and what is wrong. And I believe knows that there is a God.
Well,
listen, if you've enjoyed this podcast, love for you to subscribe to the channel. That's easy for me to say. Subscribe to the channel. Share this with your friends on your social media platforms, because I think it's something that maybe they could find useful. So, man, Kevin, thanks so much.
Thanks for having
me. And thanks for joining us, and look forward to you joining us next time on the Crossroads in Culture podcast.